Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. It's a much nicer morning this week than it was last week. And I was glad you were here last week. I'm glad you're here this week. It is good for us to be together. I'm so happy that you're here with us. It's good for us all to be together as we continue this green season after the Epiphany, as we begin moving towards Lent. That's one of the announcements that I have. Wednesday, February 14th, the rest of the world thinks of it as Valentine's Day. For us, it is Ash Wednesday. It is the beginning of our Lenten journey together. We will have worship here that day, and then we will also have worship on the Wednesdays follow. This year, for our midweek Lenten services, we are going to be looking at the prophets who look down towards us from the stained glass windows, Moses and the major prophets, and then all of the symbols up above them and things. And so I hope that you will join us as we learn from them and find inspiration from their lives. But join us for our season of Lent. Today is the first Sunday in February, and so I hope you understand that means donut. I almost don't have to say much more than that, just donut. There are donuts, there are opportunities for conversation. Please, please join us, and thanks again to the folks who are on the Parish Life Committee. I also have this announcement. It has pleased Almighty and Everlasting God to welcome to His eternal home our brother in Christ, Paul Schreffler. Paul, a beloved child of God, leaves behind his family and then friends and colleagues who loved him. Services celebrating the life and the gifts that God shared through Paul will be held here at St. John's this coming Thursday, February 8th. The calling hours will begin at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The service will begin at 2 o'clock Thursday afternoon. Also this week, we mourn the loss of Myron Parks, who worked every day at the thrift shop with Mary. He was her right hand and leg and everything else. Many of us knew him. We pray for him and for his family as well. I have no information on Myron's service, but please remember Myron and his family in your prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, you gave Paul and Myron new births in baptism, and entrusted them to us for a time that seems too short. As we thank you for the lives that we shared, help us now to release Paul and Myron to your mighty keeping. Bring us all to that day when we shall stand in your presence with all your saints in light eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them, discovering ways to connect to ministry that goes on all around us. But we've gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Everlasting God. Let us rise and sing together.
Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, we wait forever.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Everlasting God, you give strength to the weak and power to the faint. Make us agents of your healing and wholeness, that your good news may be known to the ends of your creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught, and makes the rulers of earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them, and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 16. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me. And woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I might proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel story today, we are watching as Jesus begins his ministry. He's there in Capernaum and he's teaching and he's healing and he's curing the ills of many. But Jesus is also speaking with his disciples and showing us the importance of taking time in prayer. There's an awful lot that's going on in this reading, but as I was getting ready for this morning, it led me to a story. Ruth was propped up in the bed looking out the hospital window. She was covered with tubes and connected to more machines than she had ever seen on one person. Drugs and fluids dripped into one arm. There were diagnostics and other kinds of readings recorded from all over. With the pings and the beeps and the scritches and the scratches and the bleeps, they were all around her. She just stared out the window. Now, it wasn't a great view. She got to see part of a parking lot, some of a driveway, and then dead plants drooping down from the retaining wall. Despite that view, she stared out the window. Pastor Brad saw her as he was walking up the hallway to her room. She looked so frail and so small. This was hardly the woman that he knew from singing in the choir at church and helping make snacks in the VBS kitchen. She really did look a shell of the woman that she was. Pastor Brad gently knocked on her door as he was entering the room, and without even looking back, she called out, "What do you need this time? My machines didn't call you, and neither did I." I'm very sorry to interrupt you, Ruth. It's just me," Pastor Brad said. "I'm not sure I want to see you, Pastor. I'm quite upset with God, with you, with the congregation, and everything," Ruth said, and it was very loudly. Pastor Brad looked sheepishly and shocked when he came face to face, and he says, "I'm terribly sorry you feel that way. Can I do something to make it up to you? I suppose I can answer for myself and for the congregation, but I'm not sure I should answer for God," he said with a smile. And Ruth smiled back almost in spite of herself. "Well," she said, "it's about those poor prayers that have been said on my behalf, Pastor. I'm dying here. I know it. I've been through some of this before, and I am dying. I don't think I'm going to leave this hospital alive." She continued, "Now I know for a fact that you have been praying for me at church, and they've been praying for me on the Prayer Partners Network. I know that all sorts of people are praying, and I'm mad because it's not working." "What do you mean it's not working? Didn't you hear me?" she says. "I'm going to die here. That's what I mean. If all those people are praying, then why isn't God listening, and why am I not getting better?" Pastor Brad smiled a little and said, "So, you're mad at God because God isn't behaving like Santa Claus, and you're upset at us because we can't make him do that. Is that about it?" "I don't think that God is Santa Claus," she said, a little upset. "But didn't you just say that God isn't listening and giving you what you want?" Now it was Ruth's turn to look a little sheepish. "Yes, I did. I'm very sorry for that. But it's frustrating, though, isn't it, Pastor? I'm dying, and God doesn't seem to care." She stopped Pastor Brad's response with her hand, and she said, "Hear me out. I remember one of the last times that I was in church or at Bible study or something like that. We were talking about Peter's mother-in-law. She was sick with, you know, a cold or the flu, some kind of sniffles. And Jesus just healed her. Now, at the time, you said that it shows us that God cares about even the little things in our lives and not just big things. Well, I'm dying. It's not just a cold or the flu or some sniffles. It's cancer. Shouldn't God care about that really big thing in my life?" Pastor Brad looked at her with care in his eye. He said, "What makes you think God doesn't care? Just because you're not getting better doesn't mean God doesn't care. But he could save me. He could just reach down and get rid of this cancer. Now, couldn't he?" "Yes, I suppose he could," Brad nodded. "And I understand how much it stinks that you are dying. It stinks for me too, you know. And it stinks for your family and all of the people who love you as well. But you see, Ruth, for me, it's really a question about the difference between healing and cure. Ruth looked puzzled and she said, "What's the question? They're the same, aren't they?" But Brad shook his head and he says, "I don't think so. You see, for me, a cure is when your disease goes away. But I believe that healing has more to do with wholeness, your personal wholeness, no matter what your physical condition is. A cure might help in your healing, but not all healing are cures. Healing leads to wholeness in your life with the people around you, the people you love. More importantly, the wholeness in your life with God. I hope you can see that and understand what I'm saying. Ruth, God has been with you from the beginning. How long has it been since you had your first diagnosis and treatment? It's been about 4 years, hasn't it?" She nodded. "Now, have those 4 years been good and fun, or have they been wasted?" "For the most part, they've been really good. I've enjoyed my life more. I've done more with my family and my friends. Yeah, they've been very good." Pastor Brad continued and said, "Now, we don't know how long you have now, but do you want whatever time you have? Do you want that to be good and fun, or would you rather waste much of that time you have left complaining?" "I want it to be good," Ruth said, "but I'm dying." "I know," Pastor Brad said. "We all know, and there is not a person who knows you who wouldn't do anything or give anything not to make that not so. But if you remember that story of Jesus and Peter's mother-in-law, you may remember that night afterwards, Jesus cured lots of people. The gospel says he cured many, but it doesn't say that he cured everyone. Not even everyone who came looking for it. No one knows why not. And when I get a chance to ask God face to face, believe me, I'm going to ask, but he's not telling me now. Ruth, what I do know, and I hope that you know it as well, is that God loves you. God loves us all. God is with us all. God cares for us all. God forgives us and blesses us and gives gifts to all of us. There is no one like God. God has been with you through every diagnosis, every treatment, every good day, and all of the bad ones. One thing that you need to remember is that God cares about you and is with you and your family and your friends always. He never leaves. And all of us who love you, we will be with you also. As Pastor Brad was talking, Ruth began to cry. "Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for reminding me of all of God's love and the wonderful years that I've had. Thanks be to God for all that I have. Pastor, did you bring your communion kit?" Brad smiled and said, "That I did." And as they shared communion and some more conversation, Ruth began to look as if a weight had been lifted from her. She did get to leave the hospital, but it was only into hospice care at home. She died about a month later, surrounded by her family. And she died with a smile on her face. So often, we look at prayer as if it were a Christmas list for Santa, and we get mad when God doesn't just fill my list. Jesus lets us know in today's gospel that prayer is an important part of our life of faith, but it's as a conversation with God and not about making demands. Prayer is a time for us to open ourselves to a God who listens, who responds, and who cares always. In our gospel today, Jesus goes off by himself to pray, to converse with God, to find strength in that relationship. And this is what Jesus was showing the disciples that day. It's what Jesus is showing us this morning. Yes, in the story, he was also helping and curing, casting out demons, teaching the crowds. But Jesus also knew that maintaining his relationship with God is essential. It's the true gift of prayer. It's one of those miracles of prayer. And for us who follow Jesus, it is equally essential. Too often, we think that we or the people that we know should be cured just like that. I mean, that's what miracles are, right? It's when things go well for the people I like. And that's what we pray for. For me, personally, miracles are more like those amazing things that happen every day. It's a 16th birthday. It's a wedding anniversary. It's picking up a call from a friend you haven't talked to in years. Those are miracles. What God wants is for us to have life, abundant life, life filled with joy and peace, with care and service for the world around us. And sometimes that life lasts a long time and sometimes not. Why Jesus cured Peter's mother-in-law and not all of our loved ones is one of those mysteries that we have to struggle with. But what we don't have to struggle with is the truth that God is always with us, helping, strengthening, forgiving, and then sending us out in love. There is no one like God. And God's love is ours so that we can go into the world and make God's vision of love and care into our mission every single day. So let's. Amen. And now, as we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessings on the church, the world, and all of creation. Everlasting God, you bring your healing power to the church. Give your church a spirit of unity and prayer that we discern your way for us in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Creator of the ends of the earth, you make the grass grow and send rain for the soil. Bring your creation into harmony and balance. Give animals their food and provide healthy shelter for your people. Inspire us to honor the miraculous beauty of all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy. God without equal, your steadfast love endures forever. Bring the leaders, elected officials, and peacekeepers of our towns and countries into understanding and unity. Guide them to serve with compassion and understanding. Lord, in your mercy. God who strengthens, you lift up with your hand any who are suffering. Heal those who are brokenhearted and strengthen the weak and all in need. Lord, in your mercy. God who gives power to the faint, challenge us to share the faith stories of what God has done in our lives. Open us to receive the unique ways that God is at work in your people, especially for those whose perspectives challenge our own. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are many people who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these known to us who need your wholeness. We pray for Judith and Rhonda. Lord, in your mercy. God who calls each star by name, we remember all who have died. Shelter all who mourn with your mercy and care, and give us hope in your promised salvation. We pray especially for the families of Paul and Myron. Lord, in your mercy. Knowing the Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission. You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Take me as you find me, all my fears and frailties.